to hear about what we should be eating. And I think I'm losing friends over the emails I've been sending. But hopefully when this is all over, I'll build some of those relationships back. Okay, I'm going to start out with a little story. One day, average American approached the drive-thru of fast food heaven. What will it be today, he thought to himself. Maybe the super-sized extra value deluxe combo meal special. Yeah, that's it. Waiting in line, he sang the fast food heaven jingle. Approaching the outdoor menu, average American pushed the button to roll down his window. The voice from the box boomed. Welcome to fast food heaven. How can I help you? Average American's stomach growled loudly in response, salivating. He said, I'd like the super-sized extra value deluxe combo meal special with a 99-ounce Dr. Pepper. Would you like an apple pie with that? No, thank you, average American responded, priding himself on his restraint. Your total's $4.98 at the first window, sir. Thank you. Average American grabbed the bag of food from the girl at the window and opened it, stuffed a handful of French fries in his mouth. Make moo, he said gratefully, around a mass of chewed potatoes. Using skills learned from his parents, he avoided wrecking his car as he simultaneously drove, talked on his cell phone with his investment advisor, and ate the entire super-sized extra value deluxe combo meal special. 3 miles down the road, he passed the Feel Healthy gym. Maybe I should start working out, said Average American. He meditated on this inspiring idea for the whole 12 seconds that it took for the gym to pass out of view. Then a more inspiring idea crowded out the first one. An Average American punched the accelerator, making his way post-haste to the drive-thru at the Ice Cream Palace. Welcome to the Ice Cream Palace, the excited high schooler shouted from the speaker. What can I get you? Average American thought for a moment, but he already knew what he was going to order. Could I have one of those cherry-covered cream-top banana sundaes with chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry ice cream with extra nuts? And how's about some sprinkles on top? The voice offered. For a full 10 seconds, he fought his willpower, a moral battle against this sugar-conditioned craving. Finally, he gasped, no thank you. Another victory. That'll be $3.58 at the first window, shouted the Ice Cream Palace worker. Please drive through. He paid for and took the cherry-covered cream-top banana sundae with chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry ice cream and extra nuts, drove back the way he had come, skillfully eating as he drove. This time, he took no notice when he passed the Feel Healthy gym. Later that afternoon, Average American experienced utter bewilderment as he collapsed from a heart attack. He was 52. So we can kind of laugh at that story, but it's kind of familiar to a lot of the way that a lot of us live. And tonight, I really just wanted to talk about focus on eating and, you know, talk a little bit about obesity. And I know I've kind of given some of these statistics, but I wanted to throw them out there again. And just what does that mean? What does it mean to our health? What are we doing to our health by living like this average American? 64% of American adults are overweight. 78% of adult Americans do not meet recommended daily activity levels. They don't exercise, almost 80% of the population. The number of overweight adults has doubled since 1980, and for children and teens, it's tripled. And as I said a couple weeks ago, obesity, which is only being 20% over your normal recommended body weight, is the second leading cause of death in the U.S. And I guess I've probably said before, but that's why I'm so passionate about it, is because it's totally preventable. So this is, you know, what drives me a lot of times, is just seeing people suffer when it's something that we can prevent. We have total control over. The single most highly correlated factor to longevity or long life is healthy weight. So being a healthy weight, that's the single most highly correlated thing to living long. You don't see a lot of elderly people that are severely overweight, and that's because that your body's just not able to live a long time with that type of stress on it. So what can we do to change this? And I think that the main thing we need to do is we need to look at what are we feeding our bodies? The human body, it wasn't designed to function with a lot of excess weight. So we overload it, and then we wonder and are concerned by all the problems that arise. We have knee replacements, hip replacements, back pain, arthritis, all of these things. And unfortunately, it's a vicious spiral, because the more weight you gain, the less you want to do. So the downward spiral just kind of begins, because you don't have the energy, you don't have the ability, so you kind of just get caught in that chasm that just kind of goes down. So what is the weight loss problem? What is the issue? And unfortunately, in our society now, we have so many bad foods that taste so good, and they're addictive. And we're just infiltrated with fast food, with tons of options, quick, easy options that taste good, but they're really not what we need, not what we need to be eating. Unfortunately, bad foods are super convenient. I mean, it's just that our lives are so fast-paced, and it's so easy. go through the drive-thru. You know, nobody wants to cook. Nobody wants to do all that preparation. It's just so much easier. Hey, kids, going to McDonald's on the way to practice. That's just what we do. Unfortunately, hormones, especially for women, make bad foods look good. We do have cravings. And bad foods, they give comfort. And I think a lot of us have come to a place where it's something we run to. It's something we use in our lives. We use it when we're happy to celebrate. What do? We go out to dinner. We, you know, eat sweets or, you know, indulge in things. When we're sad, what do? We run to food. It fills that need in us in a lot of ways, and that void. So I really feel like the main reason that we're overweight is really kind of boils down to something pretty simple that the scripture actually talks a lot about, and it's a bad word called gluttony. And Christians are truly no exception to this. We love to eat, and everything we do is centered around food for the most part in our lives. And a lot of times I think Christians think because we don't drink and we don't smoke and we don't party that we can just eat all we want. That's a free-for-all, and it's not a sin. And unfortunately, we're reaping what we're sowing in obesity, heart disease, high blood pressure, type 2 diabetes. You know, it's the same reaping and sowing principle applies in your physical health just as it does in your financial and spiritual life. So if you reap overindulgence, you're going to sow unhealthiness. And Webster defines gluttony as excess eating and drinking. And in Proverbs 23:20, verse 20 and 21, it says, "Do not join yourselves with those who drink too much or gorge themselves on meat, for drunkards and gluttons become poor and drowsiness clothes them in rags." So I believe that there's also a connection spiritually to gluttony and to how we are living and how we're treating our bodies. I believe it's a spiritual and emotional problem first, and it's a dietary problem second. So before I get too much into, you know, the nitty gritty of actually of food and nutrition, I do want to speak from a heart of compassion and not from a heart of judgment. And I know a lot of people may think, well, you don't understand, you know, what I go through or where I'm at. And that may be true. I may not understand everything, but I can tell you from personal experience that I do understand emotional eating because I've battled with that throughout my life. And I've actually, struggled and gone down some very bad paths and dangerous paths in my own life to get me where I am today. So I do understand, you know, the emotions that go behind a lot of this. And what I've really found in my own life and in talking to people, women that I deal with, there's almost always the root problem of weight is an emotional problem. So one thing I just kind of wanted to take a few minutes to say is, you might need to seek healing. You might need to seek counseling and support before you just give up and throw in the towel. You might really need to pray and ask God, what is driving this? What is driving this in me? Because for most of the time, you've tried every diet in the book. You know, I mean, you've done it all before. And a lot of times people feel like, I can't do this. I can't change the way that I am. And you have to realize, like I said, that it is something sometimes deeper than just a dietary issue. So I just wanted to encourage you. And just as you were talking about that show, Heavy, I don't know if you guys have ever seen that, but oh my gosh, I mean, it just breaks my heart because these people can get the best help that they can get, but when they go back to their own environment, they get to go away. But usually when you go back to your own environment where you live, a lot of times it doesn't stick. So that's where I think as Christians, you know, it's no different than getting healing from anything else in our lives, whether it's unforgiveness or, you know, something that we've gone through in our childhood, it could be connected to that. I mean, God, I believe, so believe he wants to heal us to be free in this area as well. And so I just wanted to encourage you that, you know, like I said, you know, begin to ask God, what is the root of this issue for me if you're really struggling? And you have to address the spiritual and the emotional as well as the physical because it all works together. So I hope that tonight you guys can just have an open mind about what I'm going to teach. And I know that we're not going to, we're not going to be perfect, and I'm going to set the standard kind of high. And I talked to my husband, I'm like, I don't know how far I should go. And he's like, go all the way, because really, I'm going to speak the truth, because the truth is what sets us free. So I'm going to lay it all out there, and you can take or leave what you want. But I like to look at food in two categories. And just kind of a simple way that, has helped me to look at foods is like two shelves in your pantry of life, okay? There's living food, which is food that produces life, food that protects you from disease, food that sharpens your mind and energizes and enlightens you. And there's dead food, which food is food that will actually make you disease prone and overweight. And a quote that I absolutely love, that's from Jillian Michaels. You guys know that trainer on Biggest Loser. And she says, if it doesn't have a mother and if it doesn't grow from the ground, don't eat it. So that kind of just lays it out there. So you kind of have that choice, I feel like, of which shelf are we going to pick from every day? When we have that option. So I totally believe that God created food. It's part of our reward, and he gave us lots and lots of options. But what has happened is we've taken what I call living food, which is basically any food that God created, any food that grows from the ground, any food that has a mother. Like I said before, you know, Cheetos don't grow from the ground, and they don't have a mother, okay? So those would fall in the dead food category. And what dead foods are living foods that have fallen into the hands of man, and we have altered them in every way imaginable. We have made them last forever at room temperature, and we have made them as addictive as possible. So if you know, most of the things, convenience-wise, things that we eat, if you really think about it, I mean, if the list of ingredients on the back is this long, it's a totally processed, and it's just not something that God created for our bodies to have. And as a Christian, we are totally free, I believe, to eat anything we want. I believe that we are free from the Old Testament laws, and our diet will not keep us from heaven, okay? It's not a salvation issue. But if you continue to eat unhealthy foods, you might get to heaven a little bit faster. So that's up to you. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:12 that all things are permissible, but not all things are beneficial. And I think that's something I know he's probably talking, you know, about not necessarily about food, but at the same time, I believe it can apply in our lives. I mean, it doesn't mean, you know, if you can never, you know, eat fast food again for the rest of your life, but it's not beneficial. It's not a good option. So what is the best diet for us to follow? And like I said, I really believe in it just, and this is, for me, has just been a process really just in the past few years where I've really kind of started to really learn what I'm talking to you guys about tonight. But to me, it's just getting back to the basics. It's really not that difficult. It's not like we have to follow some crazy diet. But I believe God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what did he create? What did he create for us? I mean, you think about what did people live on? You know, they lived on fruits, whatever grew, what vegetables, meats. They didn't really have a lot of dairy products probably back then, unless it was just fresh, you know, goat's milk or whatever. But nuts, seeds, all of those things. I mean, that's what God designed our bodies to function on and to thrive on. And we have strayed so far from this plan. And so it's like we wonder why we have so many health issues. But to me, it makes so much sense if we really just think about it. And even if you just want to go back, you know, 100 years, what did people then? I mean, I know they didn't have antibiotics and all those things, you know, and they did die probably somewhat. Some people died younger, but a lot of those people were extremely healthy. And people, even I think sometimes people say, well, they ate fat, they ate bacon. They did, but it was all pure foods. They raised, they grew. They didn't eat processed foods like we do. So that is really what I feel is the biggest message I could give to you. And I call it the plague of the processed foods, or the killer convenience. And basically, they're frankenfoods. We have, once again, as man, we've ruined something good. We've processed them, we've added chemicals, and we've just made it convenient. And there is also a huge, I believe, money industry behind all this as well. A lot of the food organizations, things, I mean, they know that foods are addictive. That's why, I mean, they purposefully put chemicals in them to make your body crave more of them, because they want you to buy more of them. So let's look at some of the dangers. When I talk about these processed foods, what's the big deal? What are some of the dangers? And one of the number one things is sugar. Almost all processed foods, or most processed foods, have sugar in them. In the 1700s, the average person consumed 4 pounds of sugar per year. In the 1800s, it rose to 18 pounds. 1900s, 90 pounds. In 2009, 50% of all Americans consume a half a pound of sugar per day, which equals 180 pounds per year. And the thing is, a lot of the sugar you might not even realize that you're eating because it's in some of the processed foods that we're eating. And sugar actually can make you fat. It signals your body to produce insulin. It's very taxing on your pancreas and your blood sugar regulation system, your insulin. Insulin's a very powerful hormone that can actually signal your body to store fat. It gives you a surge, so when your body tries to recover from that and your blood sugar levels dip, what it creates is a demand usually for more sugar. It actually impairs and affects your immune system. Of course, it does lead to type 2 diabetes and can even increase your cholesterol. And it accelerates the aging process, and it's addictive. And one thing I'll say, like I said, we're not going to be perfect, and I kind of have my ups and downs. Valentine's kind of threw me off a little bit. But what you'll find is when you really get off of sugar, you won't crave it. It takes a little while, but after a while, you really don't, but you have to just kind of shut it off. And at first, your body does crave it, but after that, it doesn't. And one of the main leading things, which I know I've sent some emails about this, but is soda, soft drinks, all of those things. And I've got some little things I wanted to show y'all tonight. But a 12-ounce can of Dr. Pepper, let me see if I can grab all these at once, I don't know. 12-ounce can of Dr. Pepper has 10 teaspoons of sugar. Okay, 12 ounces is really not that big. Often we get the Sonic with the Route 44. So imagine, and the average, the recommended amount for a female is 4 teaspoons of sugar a day, and the recommended amount for a male is 6 teaspoons. So just in a 12-ounce Dr. Pepper, you're going to be over that. Which I found this pretty shocking, a Capri Sun. We give these to our kids all the time. Well, I don't anymore, but I used to. 6.5 teaspoons of sugar in this little bitty Capri Sun, okay? And then I found this one interesting. An ultra slim fast orange pineapple has 8.25 teaspoons of sugar, okay? And we think that this is a good thing or something you take when you're trying to eat when you're on a diet. So that's what I'm talking about when I say there's a lot of hidden sugars. And soft drinks, there's no benefit. So if at all possible, you need to start eliminating and getting those out of your life. You'll save money too. Let's see. I think I said this the other night, but this statistic just totally shocks me. But you're at an 85% increased chance of type 2 diabetes with just drinking one Coke a day. That just amazes me. So as you can see, getting rid of that's one, not necessarily simple, but it's one thing you can do to just really cut down the sugar intake in your life. Another additive that's in a lot of processed foods now is high fructose corn syrup. Who's heard of that? Okay, and when I first started hearing about it, I was like, what's the big deal? I don't understand what all the hype is about. But the more I started reading about it, it's basically a cheap form of sugar that's made from corn. And they use it now because it's cheaper, because we have a plethora, tons of corn, and it's just cheaper. It's found in many, many processed foods. And I actually, just as a personal example, I check labels now, and I was just at the grocery store, and I was going to buy Raisin Bran. My kids like to eat that. And Kellogg's Raisin Bran has high fructose corn syrup. Post Raisin Bran doesn't. So it really does pay and benefit for you to look at your labels. I know it's a little more time consuming, and a lot of products now are putting it on the front, no high fructose corn syrup. And like juice boxes, I mean, Capri Suns, things like that, those things, Cokes, cereals, ice cream, cookies, crackers, soups, sauces, condiments, salad dressing, most salad dressings, candy bars, gum, syrups, jellies. And what happens is high fructose corn syrup, it overwhelms your liver. And your liver has two main jobs. It processes fat and it filters harmful substances. Well, your body doesn't really recognize the high fructose corn syrup. So it's kind of like a harmful substance to your liver. Your liver considers it a harmful substance. So what happens is if your liver is overwhelmed, constantly processing out all of these things that we're eating and all these processed foods with all the chemicals and additives, it can't do both jobs 100%. So the job that's going to suffer is the job of processing fat. And none of us really want that job to suffer, trust me. So that's one reason, is to just stay away from a lot of these chemicals. Some of the side effects of high fructose corn syrup are fatty liver disease, high blood pressure. It can even cause gout, diabetes, and elevated triglycerides. So like I said, look at your food labels. There's so many. One thing that is neat about the day and time that we live in, although there are a lot of processed foods, there are a lot of companies out there that are offering alternatives. So it's up to you as the consumer to start looking. And the more that people start rejecting these foods, the more they're gonna have to change what they're making. And it's already starting to happen. But like I said, a lot of products will now kind of put it on the front, but sometimes you gotta look on the label. And the hardest part for me is stuff for kids, because it's just in everything. Another dangerous ingredient is artificial sweetener. And same thing with artificial sweetener, it can be in a lot of products that you may not realize that it's in. Splenda, it's not so splendid. It's actually made by chlorinating sugar, using chlorine. They do like some type of a process to chlorinate the sugar. And it's actually toxic to your body. And I've read a lot on Splenda, and it also creates a great stress on your liver and your kidneys. So the same thing's gonna happen if you're eating lots of artificial sweetener. Your liver cannot do both of the jobs. It's gonna probably be less at functioning on processing the fat if it's trying to process all this artificial sweetener. And some common side effects to artificial sweetener: abdominal pain and stomach upset, nausea, bloating, blurry vision, headaches, migraines, heart palpitations, shortness of breath, depression, a feeling of being spaced out, joint pain, and dizziness. Some of you have that feeling. Maybe you don't have artificial sweetener, but something good to blame it on. And aspartame is another type of artificial sweetener. It's actually made up of three components: aspartic acid, phenylalanine, I'm not sure if I say that right, and methanol. Methanol is actually known as wood alcohol. And in your body, it converts to formaldehyde. Okay, that's embalming fluid. So I'm just going to leave it there. You guys can decide if you want to continue ingesting that. Another thing we can look at that's in processed foods is white flour. And basically, that is when they take grain, they pulverize it, they process it, they bleach it. There's basically nothing left, okay? There's no nutrients left. And unfortunately, the body metabolizes white flour as fast as it does a candy bar. So, not to pick on Pastor, but if you're going to eat Goldfish or Teddy Grahams, you might as well grab a candy bar as far as your body is concerned. White bread. So now you can have a candy bar before bed. No, that's not what I'm saying. But what it does is it actually elevates your insulin levels just like sugar, and it increases your risk for type 2 diabetes. And what you need to do is look on the product, look in the ingredients for whole grain or whole oat. Don't look on the front of the box, okay? I love now they have Goldfish that say whole grain. Okay, no, they're not. Look at the ingredient list. You'll see enriched flour. It might even say enriched wheat flour, but basically it's just processed, and it's not good for you. Another one is hydrogenated oils. Who's heard about these? This is always all over, all the talk shows and the news and that sort of thing. And same thing with these. I kind of at first was like, okay, trans fats, okay, whatever, what's the big deal? But basically what happens is they take oil, they add a hydrogen to the actual compound through a very complicated process. And what this does, or the reason they do it, is because it improves the shelf life of food. It makes it more tasty and more palatable. But the danger is that your body does not recognize this oil once this hydrogen is added to it. So it actually treats it like a saturated fat. Why is that a problem? Because saturated fats are what clog our arteries, raise our cholesterol levels. That's why we have kids now that have high cholesterol, because a lot of the things that they're eating, I mean, some of them, everything in their diet has hydrogenated oils. And it's a very serious problem. Where are trans fats found? Fast food, cookies, cakes, crackers, peanut butter is a huge one. Jif, all the just regular forms of peanut butter, which kids eat, you know, peanut butter like it's going out of style. I meant to bring it, but there's actually a brand, they sell it at Walmart and at HEB and at Kroger. It's called Laura Scudder's, and it's natural peanut butter. And I promise you, once you make the switch, the old kind of peanut butter, the Jif, will taste so disgusting. it tastes funny in your mouth. And if I can get my husband to switch to natural peanut butter, I'm telling you, there is hope for you or anyone in your family. And now he loves it, like absolutely loves it. So just some things that, you know, we just don't even realize that, you know, just kind of go in under the radar, and they're actually really dangerous and damaging for our health. Margarine. I read somewhere one time that even rats won't eat margarine when it's left out, okay? So I don't know. But any kind of butter substitute, and you really have to watch with this, any kind of packaged foods, granola bars, so many things. There are options that don't have hydrogenated oils, but you have to check your labels. I've gotten to where I know my brands now, but I stay in the grocery store and I look at stuff, because if there's an option that doesn't have it, I'd rather buy, you know, I'm gonna buy that. So what does it do to your body? It directly promotes heart disease because, like I said, your body treats it as a saturated fat. It recognizes it as a saturated fat, so it raises your cholesterol level. it promotes cancers, mainly breast, colon, and prostate cancer. It raises your bad cholesterol, or the dangerous cholesterol, the LDL levels. It raises those. It can actually accelerate tumor growth. If you, anyone that has a tumor may not even know it, and it's going to accelerate that growth. It's going to accelerate the progress of type 2 diabetes. It clogs your blood, makes your blood cells thicker, and it actually causes liver disease. So try to avoid these fats at all costs. They are actually very, very dangerous to the body. Now, the body does need healthy fats, okay? We have learned way away from the misconception of eating low fat and no fat. The body fat does not necessarily make you fat. There are lots of good fats that are actually really, really healthy. Olive oil, organic butter or butter in moderation, coconut oil, nuts, eggs, avocados, expeller pressed canola oil, and fish oil. So our body needs fat. So it's not like we need to stay away from that. Okay, so now that you guys are overwhelmed with what not to eat, let's talk about some things that we can eat. I have take heart, because food is a blessing from God. It says in Exodus 23:25, "You shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and water." I will take away sickness from the midst of you. So let's look at the things that are permissible and beneficial that we know we can eat. And like I said before, I know we're not going to be perfect. Even with all the knowledge and research that I do, I'm not perfect. Okay, you may see me, you know, at Chick-fil-A. Okay, so don't judge me when you do. But the thing that I want to drive home is just that the majority of your diet, the majority of what you're eating, needs to come from the foods, the living foods, and not the dead foods. We're not going to be able to live in our society and not ever eat those kinds of foods. It's just not realistic. I try and it just doesn't work. The foods. So what are the foods we need to focus on? Whole foods is what I like to call them. Again, things that God made: fruits, vegetables, lean meats, nuts, dairy products, and whole grains. So I'm just going to kind of go through these and talk about each one. Fruit. Organic is really the best way to go. I know most people may not be able to or may not want to spend the money, and that is totally a personal thing. There are lists that you can find of what fruits are more important to buy organic, because some things, like I know off the top of my head, like bananas are not as important to go organic. They have a thicker skin. Things like berries that are thinner skinned. And the reason all the hype about that is a lot of the chemicals that they spray on these fruits and vegetables as they're growing to keep away the bugs and all that stuff, I mean, we're ingesting those things, and they're chemicals. They kill things and we're eating them. So that's the reason kind of for the hype about that. And like I said, that's a totally personal decision. If you have blood sugar problems, you do want to kind of be aware of fruits. You can look online. There's like what they call low glycemic fruits. For example, a banana would not be a low glycemic fruit. It's going to raise your blood sugar. Berries are going to be a little bit lower, because even though fruit has natural sugar, it still has sugar. So just something to kind of be aware of if you have blood sugar issues. Vegetables, again, the same thing. Organic and fresh is the best way to go. I'm giving you the very top. Non-organic fresh is going to be the second best. Frozen is okay. Now they do kind of flash freeze things, and it does kind of preserve a lot. I would try to avoid, personally, I avoid canned vegetables because really there's just very little vitamin and nutrient content in canned vegetables. So if at all possible, go with frozen, go with fresh if you can. If not, you know, go with frozen. And the thing that I like to focus on with veggies is it's super easy to buy fresh vegetables. I know a lot of people don't for some reason, but like I steam every kind of vegetable under the sun, and it really just takes a few minutes. I mean, I guess I don't understand the process of frozen is easier, because I guess just maybe you have to go to the grocery store more often to keep fresh. So do some of both, so you're not in a place where you don't have any vegetables for a meal. But fresh is, they're super easy to prepare. As far as meats, lean meats, again, the best choice is going to be organic meat, which I know it's very expensive, but I'm just going to throw that out there, because they use a lot of antibiotics and a lot of hormones in our meats and in our milks. And especially with kids, even kids going through puberty, younger and younger, they're attributing that to all the hormones that they're ingesting. Because, I mean, I don't know if you guys have ever seen those shows on, like, now they mass produce little chickens, and it's like they pump them with steroids so that they grow in, like, what, you know, 7 days, I think. No, it's not, but it's just, it's sad, and it's all about money, but it really is. It's like 21 days or something these chickens grow all the way up, and they can't even walk because they want the chicken breast to be so big, because that's what we want, is more meat, because we're Americans. So it really is true. So if at all possible, organic. That's why the hype about organic. But chicken, turkey, pork, the verdict's still out on that. Some people think you really should limit that. Red meats, in moderation, can be very healthy and very beneficial because of the iron that's in them. And fish, of course. And some of the better fish choices are wild Alaskan salmon, mahi-mahi, sardines, believe it or not. Who likes sardines? Do you? I wish I did. I need to try them again. I haven't tried them since I was younger. They're actually pretty healthy. And that's a super easy... Okay, those are not healthy. You probably need to get them with water. Don't they have sardines in water? Like they have tuna in water? Yes, go with the water, not the oil. Okay, farm-raised trout, tuna, and grouper. Those are some good fish choices. We should try to stay away from, which I know this is a hard one, but lunch meat, hot dogs, sausage, and bacon, because there's a lot of nitrates and a lot of other chemicals that are in those meats. So I would just try to like eat those in moderation. You know, try, even for your kids, I wouldn't give them, you know, a ham sandwich every day, because ham is actually pretty high in nitrates. Hot dogs, I'm really, really not a big fan of. I'm so sorry, but there's actually a lot of harmful chemicals. And I even read a study once, which I didn't like go back and verify, but said they really attribute a lot of childhood or tumors in kids to eating a lot of hot dogs. So I don't know. And then healthy grains, whole grains, okay? We have to have carbohydrates, okay? So low-carb diets, you will lose weight on a low-carb diet, but it's really not a healthy way to go, and it actually puts some stress on your body, on your kidneys and your liver and things like that. It actually creates some effects in your body. Your body can go into like a state of kind of like ketosis, and it's not a healthy way to live. Our bodies were actually designed to live on carbohydrates, and actually from like a physiology exercise perspective, that's the fuel your body uses. It breaks everything into, I mean, carbohydrates is our fuel, glycogen, which is what it's called. So carbs are our friend. they actually fuel the brain. They fuel the body. So what are some good choices of carbohydrates? Brown rice. Who's heard of quinoa? Ooh, very few, very few. It's actually like this ancient grain. I bought it at Walmart just recently, so it is available. It's pretty good. You can look up some recipes with it and stuff. I've found some really good ones, and it's got protein in it. It's really, really good. Barley, oats, bran, cornmeal, hominy, wild rice, whole wheat, cracked wheat, flax, and wheat germ. And there's also another bread that is really, really amazing. It's called sprouted grain bread, and you can find that at HEB. It's in the frozen food section, and it's super healthy, super, it's not processed at all. It's actually, I mean, it's really good. It'll keep you full, and it's got protein as well. And then I kind of wanted to give you guys, have you guys seen that there's a new food guide pyramid? Anybody seen it? It's not the old one that we grew up with, like with the little, you know, the actual pyramid with the lines. They've totally changed it. So if anyone's interested kind of in finding, like what's recommended each day, kind of your servings and that sort of thing, you should go on look up Food Guide Pyramid. There's a whole website on it. And like even the RDA recommends that you make half your grains whole. I try for a little better than that personally. But again, like we're not going to be perfect. But if you can shoot for that, half your grains coming from the list I just listed, brown rice, quinoa, those kinds of things, whole grain, whole oats, sprouted grain. And then, you know, if you have to still keep your goldfish on occasion, you know, you can do that. I'm sorry. I shouldn't keep picking on you. I'm so sorry. So that's just kind of a tip. And then there's some other things on there that might be really helpful you could look at. Nuts and seeds is another category that is extremely healthy. There's omega-3 fats, which is a really healthy fat. Almonds and walnuts are some of the better picks. That's a great option for like a snack if you're busy, if you're working. Raw nuts are the best, like raw almonds, raw walnuts. But it's something you can keep with you. It's not going to go bad. Grab some almonds and a piece of fruit. The only thing you have to worry about with nuts is that serving sizes are pretty small. It's like a quarter cup. I didn't bring, that's a tablespoon. I was going to say a golf ball is about the size of a tablespoon, but I mean a quarter cup is going to kind of just barely fit in the palm of your hand. So just be aware of that because they are higher in fat and calories. So you can't just like be shoveling down nuts all day because it won't be good. Dairy is another option, another category that we can eat from. Again, with dairy, the best option is going to be organic milk. And really, if you go organic anywhere, if you have kids, I would so say buy organic milk because, like I said, there's a lot of hormones in regular milk, and it tastes so good. Trust me, it tastes better. If that's the only thing you want to splurge on or your finances will allow, that would be the one thing I would do. Yogurt, natural cheeses, cottage cheese, cream cheese, stay away from process like cheese slices. They have a lot of chemicals and not a lot of nutritional value. My daughter, she went to a friend's house not too long ago. She's 5, and she came home and she was like, "Mom, they had the best grilled cheese at their house." And she's like, "It was this cheese and you like pulled it open in this little bag." Poor sweet thing. I was like, "Yeah, sorry. Mom's not going to get that." One thing to remember, though, is some people can actually be lactose intolerant. We're actually the only species that continues to drink milk after we're weaned. You know, animals don't do that, which we might, maybe we should take note of that. But so some people can have lactose intolerance, and maybe you don't know it. As an adult, you might be struggling with that. It can actually cause, and even in kids, it can cause ear infections. If you have a lot of like nasal congestion, or your kids do, and intestinal problems, it may be worth staying away from dairy, even for adults. Like, try to take a week or 2 weeks away from it, and sometimes it can really make a difference. So I just want to throw that out there, because it can be a common allergy for a lot of people, and you may not know that that's what's going on. Beans, another awesome category. They are high in protein, high in fiber, and they have a very low glycemic index. So if you have blood sugar issues, beans are an awesome thing to add to your diet. They keep you full and they keep your blood sugar level for a long time. And one of my favorite things to make is chili, homemade chili. It's easy and it's something you can keep, and it keeps you full. It's low in fat and it's very, very healthy. There's a lot of options out there now. Clean Eating Magazine, there's tons of, that's kind of a term that people use now, is like clean eating, which is just this whole eating of like the whole foods and that sort of thing. So if you're kind of like, "I don't even know how to cook this way, I don't know how to eat this way," there are so many options. And there's some delicious, delicious recipes and things out there. Go online. I mean, there's so many creative ways to eat. Ultra Metabolism Cookbook is one of my absolute favorites. And like I was saying, I mean, a lot of these products, I mean, you can get at Walmart. So it's not like you have to go to a Whole Foods store. You just have to know where to look, and you might have to spend a little extra time the first couple of times. going to the grocery store. And there's even a lot of alternatives. A lot of companies like Amy's, she makes frozen meals. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of those. They're organic, they're whole grain. There are a lot of options like to take to work. If you don't have time to prepare something, that's a great option. There's organic vegetables that are frozen. They're not that expensive. Frozen fruit. Kashi is a good brand. Kashi cereals. Cascadian Farms is a good brand. Back to Nature. Annie's actually makes a more, I don't know, I guess you call it organic, like Goldfish. Little cheddar. It's called a cheddar bunny. Triscuits are a really good option. If you look at what the ingredients on Triscuits, I think it's like wheat, oil, and salt. And that's another thing. The fewer the ingredients, if you are buying processed foods, the better that food is going to be. So you try to look for those things. One rule of thumb is 5 ingredients or less is a good thing to look for. And hummus. Have you guys heard of hummus? Do y'all eat hummus? That's a great, great thing to eat. Hummus and veggies. It's basically a ground up chickpeas. And you can buy that at Walmart. I mean, they've got some great brands. Use it with carrot sticks or celery or, you know, Triscuits. Yeah. I mean, better than the chips and dip. So, I mean, there's so many alternatives that, you know, don't get overwhelmed because there's so many things that you can do. And I was going to give y'all three kind of my commandments, three commandments for healthy eating and weight loss. The first one is always eat breakfast. How many non-breakfast eaters do I have in here? And you're willing to admit it? No, I'm just kidding. It is super important to eat breakfast because you fasted all night, your blood sugar levels have dropped all night long, and you've got to get your metabolism and your body started again by eating a healthy breakfast. The other thing that will happen if you don't eat breakfast is you will find that you're hungry, hungry, hungry throughout the day, and generally you eat a little more than you would if you eat a breakfast. Make sure your breakfast contains protein. Cereal really isn't a really good option for breakfast. And some of you may have discovered that just by, you know, through living, because you just feel hungry, you know, an hour later. Eggs are a great breakfast option. If you don't have time to scramble them, hard boil them. I mean, there's so many things you can do. It doesn't have to be a hard process. So eat a couple hard boiled eggs and some oatmeal. It's best to get whole grain oat. I mean, just buy oatmeal, like, you know, in the red and blue tub that your parents used to buy. Buy that kind instead of the little package. It doesn't really take that much longer. You can cook that oatmeal in like 1 minute in the microwave, okay? So there's no excuses, okay? So always, always, always eat breakfast. The next thing is you really shouldn't go longer than 4 hours without eating. Okay, I'm not giving you a license to just eat all day long, but really that keeps your metabolism, that kind of keeps the fire going, okay? And if you really are listening to your body, and if you don't have a lot of excess weight and you're listening to kind of your hunger and fullness signals, usually you're hungry every 3 to 4 hours. I know I am. So let's say I eat breakfast at, you know, 6:30. By 9:30 or 10, I'm kind of hungry, okay? You need a small snack. It doesn't have to be a meal. Okay, a small snack. That's where those almonds and apple would come in really handy. Okay, if you're at work, a cheese stick. Doesn't have to be anything big, but you need to keep your metabolism going. So you need to have probably a morning snack and an afternoon snack to kind of keep you. Because if you don't, what tends to happen is, one, the metabolism kind of slows down and drops down. Two, generally you end up shoveling down food because you're so hungry that by dinner time, if you haven't eaten since breakfast or you haven't eaten since 11 o'clock, you're going to overeat because you're just so ravenous and so hungry. And the third one is portion control. Ooh, ugly words. So what are normal portion sizes? So I brought some helps with me tonight. Okay. First of all, let me bring all these things up here. This should actually be, somebody was telling me they changed their plate sizes. I think it was Tim Burton. Anyways, this is about the size of a plate that we should be eating on, okay? Most plates are a lot bigger than this. And this should kind of be our breakdown, okay? So you've got meat, carbs, and veggies. How many's meat is down here? Okay? So that's just kind of a visual of how we should be eating. Vegetables should by far be the larger portion. Okay, if you want to know what an actual portion is for pasta, rice, bread, potatoes, it's inside the small green circle that's in the middle. Okay, that's like one serving. Like for brown rice, it's a half a cup. Okay, now, you know, if you're a really active man with a lot of muscle mass or whatever, you might need a little more. But like for me, this is the serving of what I should be having for rice, okay? I think generally, and you can't go this way with it either. Okay, chicken, which I actually think this one's kind of big, but chicken. You can have quite a decent amount of chicken. That one looks really big to me, but I'm not a big meat eater, so that's a portion size for chicken. Fish, yeah, a little smaller. Let's do this one. Red meat. How many steaks do we order that go inside that? Probably about, put like three of those. And here's a good one. If you do splurge and have some kind of dessert, pie needs to fit inside the pink lines. So that just gives you a visual to see. Most of us eat a lot more than we really need to. And it takes about 20 minutes for your body to register, like, what is it, satiety? I don't know how to say that word. Fullness, okay? Think about how much food we can put away in 20 minutes. Probably quite a lot. So what happens usually, that's one thing you can do is slow down. Usually when you're sitting, I've experienced this, you're sitting across from some little bitty tiny person and y'all are having lunch and you look up and your entire lunch is gone and that person has eaten like a quarter of their food, you know? But they're able to register fullness because if you take it slow, eat slowly, and then you can be like, okay, I'm actually full, I'm satisfied. I don't need to necessarily continue, especially at a restaurant, to eat every single thing on my plate. Splitting meals is an awesome thing to do to help with portion control and to save money. You can buy your organic milk if you split meals with your spouse, okay? And Shane and I mean, as big as my husband is, we've started doing that because you do not need all the food that is served at restaurants. They way, way overdo it. I also want to show you guys this, okay? There's no excuses for bringing food to work because they have all these nifty little things. I got this at Walmart. So you can cook your healthy dinner. You'll have some leftovers. Now, again, the big one is for veggies, meat, and your carbohydrate, okay? You can even pop the lid on this, and this is like BPA, you know, whatever, free plastic and all that good stuff. So there's a lot of options. You just have to plan and really make an effort to make this work. The Food Guide Pyramid suggests for a normal person, veggies 2 to 3 cups per day, fruit 1.5 to 2 cups per day, calcium-rich foods like milk, yogurt, and cheese, 2 to 3 cups per day, which seems like a lot. Meat and beans, 6 to 7 ounces. And a 3-ounce serving, which I kind of showed you guys on the other little thing, but another visual is about a deck of cards. This is about 3 ounces of meat. Okay, so 2 of these a day is not that much. And then oils, you actually need 6 to 10 teaspoons a day of healthy oils. Like I said, they're good for you. As far as calorie intake, if some people have a hard time, I'm actually not like a huge fan of counting calories. I know some people need that, but really, if you live by the principles of eating, if it doesn't have a mother and it doesn't grow from the ground and God didn't make it, don't eat it, you don't really need to count calories because those kinds of foods your body is going to process and know what to do with, and it's going to nourish your body. You're not going to be as you know, starving for nutrients because you're getting what you need. And God gave us an awesome, awesome tool. It's called hunger and fullness. And really to live by that, you know, to eat when you're hungry, eat every 3 to 4 hours and stop when you're satisfied, to me are the best tools to use. If you need to count calories, because some people do when they're first starting out because their parameters are so out of whack and you don't really know. I told this to the iFitters, but for women, if you take your goal weight, say you want to weigh 150 pounds, and you multiply that times 10, that should be your caloric intake that you're shooting for each day. And it's actually important that you eat enough calories, okay? A 1,000 calorie, 1,200 calorie diet is not a good idea. Your body, at whatever weight you want to be, it needs a certain amount of calories. You don't want to eat below that. For men, you take whatever your goal weight is and you multiply it times 11, because men do need a little bit more than women do. So I kind of wanted to give you guys, what does a healthy eating day look like? What does it actually look like? And I'm almost finished. Breakfast, old-fashioned oats with nuts, scrambled eggs with sprouted grain bread. You can even do a protein shake. If you really want to do that, talk to me later or email me, because I can give you some healthy options for that, because some of them have a lot of bad stuff in them, believe it or not. A snack, a couple hours, 3 to 4 hours later, would be yogurt with nuts. I love Greek yogurt. Has anybody tried Greek yogurt? Super, super good. Apple with 1 to 2 tablespoons of natural peanut butter, awesome snack. Lunch, salad with grilled chicken, black bean soup or chili. Like I said, I eat a lot of like beans, black bean soup, chili, because it keeps me satisfied. It keeps me full and it's high in protein. So that's a great option for lunch. Tuna fish and Triscuits and steamed vegetables, or you could add veggies and hummus. A snack in the afternoon, grab a cheese stick. Dinner, pork chops, steamed cabbage, sweet potatoes. Sweet potatoes are awesome carbohydrate and very, very healthy. Chicken and broccoli stir fry with brown rice, grilled salmon and asparagus and quinoa, or a big salad with avocado. So it's not complicated. You don't have to make it really complicated or even do any like fancy recipes or anything like that. You can just do basic stuff. And one tip, the best way to shop around the grocery store, I don't know if you guys have ever heard anyone tell you this, but is around the outside of the grocery store. That's the best. You need to stick to the outside, run inside really fast and grab the Triscuits and run back out. Because that's where all the evil lies, is in the center of the grocery store. The cookies, the cakes. And one thing I cannot stress enough, which I promise you can ask my husband, I actually do this, you have got to sit down and make a plan for your week. Plan out what you're going to eat. Write down what you're going to cook. Make out the meals. You can get to the grocery store. You can go through super fast, pick up everything you need. I just get out my cookbooks. I bought some healthy cookbooks, and I just flip through them, and oh, that looks good. I'm going to try that. Or if you've got some of your favorites, write it down, and then I write down the ingredients I need. If you don't plan, you will fail. I promise. And just some personal guidelines. Like I said, I know we're not going to be able to avoid eating out. It's just not possible in the world that we live in. But still, you can stick to whole foods. You can still make an attempt to eat healthy, fresh foods, even when you're eating out. So many places now have healthy alternatives. If at all possible, I would try to stay away from McDonald's, Taco Bell, KFC, Whataburger. There's just not going to be a lot of good there. I mean, if you have to do it, but I would try to avoid those places as much as possible. They're going to be loaded with trans fats, white flour, processed cheese, and it's hard to make a healthy choice when you go to those places. Some good places that I like are Chipotle. They have organic meat. Panera has a lot of organic meat and great options. Cafe Express, Payway. You can get brown rice at Payway. Jason's Deli. I mean, there's so many places that you can go that have some really great healthy options. And like I said, I mean, do I eat some processed foods? Yes, but I try to limit them. I do try to check my food labels and look for harmful ingredients. And do I eat out? Yes, I do, but I try to make whole food choices. A couple other things I wanted to leave you with, supplementation. I'm not gonna take a lot of time to go into that, but I feel like personally from what I've done and what I've experienced in my own life, that it is very, very valuable because of the diets that we eat and the foods that we eat, even the fruits and vegetables that we eat, because our soil is fairly depleted. They're not as nutrient rich as they once were. So I feel like they're extremely important. You need to be careful with what you're buying. And again, if you want to talk to me or email me, because a lot of them go in, they come out the same way they go in. So you're wasting your money. So you want to get a brand that you know is actually going to dissolve and be of use, your body's going to absorb. And again, just, we're not going to be perfect, but to strive to have the majority of your diet come from these foods, you really will see a change in your energy levels, in how you feel, There can be a lot of symptoms that you might be having that really can go away. I could talk to you about artificial sweetener. I used to use a lot of it, and I literally had some physical symptoms and side effects. I did not know that's what it was. And once I got off of it, they were completely gone. Joint pain, for sure, is something that I experienced. It can cause joint pain. It's just the craziest thing. But anyways, I also want to tell you guys, if you have questions or you want to contact me, feel free to do so. You can get my email address from the church. This is my passion. This is something that I am just, this is my life. And I love it. I love to encourage people and see people succeed on this path. A couple final tips I have is, and you already kind of told it, but biggest tip to reduce weight is turn your head to the left and then to the right and repeat that exercise every time you are offered something unhealthy to eat. And that's something good to remember. And just remember, it's the daily choices. It's the small decisions that matter. Every day, you got to get up and you have to do your best to make the best choice that you can that day. And that keeps it from being so overwhelming. Just look at it day to day, choice by choice. But the choices that you make will either bring life and health or they will bring death and disease. And I can't stress that enough. But you will be amazed at where you can end up if you are just consistent with these principles. Consistency is the key. And if you mess up, it's okay. We're all going to do it. But the most important thing, if you mess up, in a situation, you blow it, you got to eat total junk, you got to go to Taco Bell. I don't know. You know, your boss is making you go there with him. It's okay. The most important thing you need to do is to start over the next meal. Don't wait till the next week or the next month. Start fresh right there and then, okay? Because that's just the best thing that you can do. So just daily steps, daily choices are what's going to get you to a healthier life.
Who's hungry? Let's stand to our feet this evening. We've asked Sarah to not just begin this iFit series, but we've asked her to serve in this ministry capacity and to make this a part of the DNA of Dominion Church for the long run. And so she's going to not just be our coach for this series, but she's going to help us in the marathon in life for a long time. Want to also say to you tonight, when our rainbows came in, they had collected to that point $52.56. You've added another $71.15. So that's $123.71. Let me just say this before we dismiss in prayer. Next Wednesday night, Dr. Kyle Sprecher will be here, and he'll be talking about keeping your physical body in shape. Some things that you can do to keep your back and your spine and your body in alignment, and what to do if it gets out. He will be bringing his team, and at the conclusion of the service, they'll be set up all over in different stations, and you'll have an opportunity to go and let them do an evaluation, of which then afterwards, if you'd like to leave your email information, they'll correspond with you and coach you to being fit in that capacity as well. So again, next Wednesday night, we're going to focus on reviving the physical temple. This is a year of revival for Dominion Church, and we believe it's going to touch every component of our life, and our life on all five levels are going to be a testimony to the glory of God, and we'll be able to say to the world, look how much less the Lord has done. Heavenly Father, thank you for this great night together as a family. This is our no guilt zone, but this is the time in our life that we step forward into what your word says is yes, and your word says is amen. You are the God that heals us. You are healing us physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, financially, relationally. And tonight we just give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.